This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Speaking of KU, I hate to introduce our guest like this. Michael Swain joins us on the show. Michael, I'm usually not like that, man. I appreciate you popping on.
I love it. I love it. You know, I can't say you're terribly wrong, but isn't that what the internet's for? You know, I think letting it out, letting the frustration out. And you make good points, Carrington. It's been a rough year, I think, for Kansas as a whole. And I obviously the future causes people to be optimistic, and there's plenty of reasons to be optimistic. Man, yeah, looking back, it's been a rough academic year for Kansas fans.
Right now, we're talking to Michael Swain, who covers the Kansas Jayhawks. All right, Michael, I think this game, we don't even need to talk about the first 37 minutes of the game. This game comes down to Kansas had a 67-64 lead in this game. And for the life of me, I still don't know what Hunter Dickinson was doing. I don't know who he was passing the ball to. I don't know what the play was. And it seemed like from that turnover forward, everything fell apart for the Jayhawks the remaining 3 minutes and 30 seconds of the game.
Yeah, that's been something that I think it too has been an issue. And man, I think you can look at this game and say so much of it is kind of a microcosm too of KU's season. Between the way the game finishes, right? KU does some good things in the first half offensively, but defensively they can't do it. In the second half defensively, you know, they really do put it together with the zone, and they self-out coaches Cal again. But then down the stretch, the players in winning time just make mistakes. And we can go back and look at any number of games from this year. You want to talk about the Utah game, either Houston game, the Texas Tech game, like the list goes on and on. KU is not a team that finished close games well. And this is something we were talking to Bill Self in the hallway about after the game, was just KU did not deal with Arkansas's length and athleticism really well. And this is an Arkansas team that, you know, they have talent, but it's not one of these teams that you're looking at and saying, man, like, they are just going to go and kick your tail all night. Like, they're just not that team, but KU made things a little too easy on them, and Hunter had some bad turnovers, but just generally, like, the decision-making from KU's players down the stretch was not good enough, and I don't think any KU fan would say they're surprised, because at this point, you know, or at that point, I should say, you know, you've seen KU enough in these close games, and you've seen them not close these games well or close them with good decision-making. So I'm not sure why, you know, you thought.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is going to be super different.
Right now, we're talking to Michael Swain, who covers the Jayhawks. When was that moment where you realized that KU might potentially be in trouble? Because I remember it like it just happened. I was at the MU-KU game, and I looked to my friend in the first half, and I said, I think Missouri's better than them. And he kind of laughed at me a little bit. And I'm like, I actually think that, like, Missouri can guard KU this year. And as somebody that went to the other two ass whoopings that KU gave Missouri, it was very obvious that Missouri could not guard them the last couple of years. And that's when I realized that maybe the talent had changed on KU. You go to every single KU game. You watch every KU game. When was that moment where you realized this wasn't going to be a typical Kansas season?
It was a Missouri game. I remember walking out. I filmed one of our post-game videos at the time, and I think one of the points I made was like, man, that felt a lot like last year's team. Speaking of, you know, the final year of McCullough with Johnny Furphy, like, it felt very similar to that. And I said that because I think you're right about the talent, but just the mental side of the game for KU in that game. How do you come out in a rivalry game with no energy? And that ended up being a huge theme across the season, where KU was not a consistent energy team. They just didn't compete some nights. And that was a big game for me, being like, uh-oh. And then after that, I think the West Virginia home game was kind of that, really the game that cemented it for me, like, oh, no, this team's got some serious issues that's going to have to resolve. And they really never did, right? The energy issues never really improved. Guys like, you know, Rylan and AJ really never found their stride, and as a result, KU ends the season with a thin team in terms of the trusted rotation players and with some of the same issues I think we've seen for 2 years running now. So I'm on the same page as you. I think the issues really started to show up, and it's so interesting when you can contrast the start to the season where, you know, KU beats Carolina, who, should they be in the tournament? Not sure. But they beat Duke on a neutral floor. They beat Michigan State on a neutral floor. That's a 1 seed and a 2 seed, right? The season started out really well, but man, as other teams got better this year, it felt like KU was very stagnant, and I think you could even argue there was some regression over the course of the year.
As someone who covers this team, what does KU need to go get in the portal? They're going to see a lot of turnover. KJ, gone. Dewan Harris, gone. Hunter Dickinson, gone. They are going to have some turnover this upcoming year. What kind of players, what do they need to fill out their roster to get back near the top of the Big 12? What do they need to do in the portal?
Yeah, I think genuinely it comes down to a couple of things. I think athleticism is such a huge part of it. You look at the point guard spot for KU, and I know Dewan is a very divisive, I think maybe is the right word to say, but he's a player that I think people have a range of feelings about. He does some good things, but he is not a great athlete, and he is not a physical presence on defense or even on offense. And KU will replace Dewan with Darren Peterson, who, if you've watched his high school tape, and if you're a Kansas fan in the KC area, head to Haskell on Saturday or Sunday, get to watch Darren Peterson and potentially AJ DeBonce to play. He is going to upgrade Kansas at the point guard spot. He will be more athletic. He will be a shot creator. He's going to be a difference maker for Kansas. I think you start there and say that is going to be a position of upgrade. Now you look at some of the other spots and you say, okay, what does KU need? I think more length and athleticism. K KU was too easy to guard this year because the players on the team were so reluctant to drive to the rim. This team is the worst free throw rate team that Bill Self's ever had. Basically, they didn't get to the free throw line all year, and that's not how Bill Self teams play. So you need to have the athletes on the perimeter who can take guys off the bounce, get to the rim, and really put pressure on a defense that way and collapse teams. And for KU this year, they were so easy to guard because if you were able to stay in front of them, man, unless KU's moving the ball at an incredible level, and they didn't because of the energy, you know, they really struggled. And so I look at that and I say, can you get some guys that just off the bounce can be tougher to guard? And then, of course, shooting, right? I think KU is going to probably pivot from the quote-unquote shooters like a Ryan Griffin and Nick Timberlake, guys who, when they shoot, man, if they're on, they can shoot with the best of them. But when they're off, what exactly else are they doing to help you win? You know, if you go look at the numbers for Ryan Griffin, they are ugly. And obviously everyone knows what happened to Nick Timberlake too. So I think KU on the perimeter is also going to go try and find some guys that can shoot, but also can provide you some of that, the extra oomph, whether it be defensively, whether it be on the glass, things that can help you win overall. And then KU's also going to have to really reinforce the front court. You know, Florey Badunga, getting him back is going to be a top priority. Bryson Tiller was a top 25 guy in the class coming up. He arrived in January. He's recovering from an ankle surgery right now. He will help KU in the front court, but I think KU easily needs two front court players. They need a starting four man and probably a backup five, if not maybe one other player outside of that. So, look, it's going to be a complete roster rehaul. 65%, I believe, of the minutes are gone from this year, and it could be more depending on the portal departures, if guys like, you know, AJ Storr and if Rylan Griffin decide to go as well. So it's going to be a new team, and I think KU's going to have the chance, and Bill Self's going to have the chance to make the team in his image. And he talked about it last night after the game. I think they're going to have to reassess some things that they've done in the portal and try and get back to some things that I think are more Bill Self rather than trying to maybe be something that you're just not.
You are around Self all the time. Where is he at mentally, physically? I mean, it's been a wild 18 months or so for the Kansas program. He had his own health issues. They've been down these last couple of years. Is he still motivated to do this? Does he still have the same bounce in his step when you talk to him? Where is Bill at right now in this?
Yeah, I think, man, it feels so long ago to talk about, right, when he had the health event in Kansas City and everything that's happened. I think next year is going to be really big, right? He's got a player coming in who he spent years recruiting and spent a lot of time recruiting, and someone who he has said himself is the best player he's recruited. I think that gives him a ton of energy. If you watch any press conference, the second Darren Peterson comes up, like it's like a light goes on for Self, and he is so excited, I think, about coaching that. I think there's certain frustrations about the current landscape of college, right? And he's a guy that the way he coaches is very specific. And I don't know sometimes if getting some of these transfers who need to change, like an AJ Storr, where, okay, you got AJ Storr and said, okay, we like this, and this that he does, but man, he needs to change these parts. It's really hard to get those guys to change. And I think it's hard for, I think, Self too, when you demand that from players, to try and find ways to get away from what he has been as a coach, right? Where he wants toughness. He wants guys to compete. And I think at times some recruiting evaluations have led to that not being super prevalent. So I think he's someone that is trying to find it, right? You see it across the sport right now. The coaches that are on the older side of the age spectrum, they're having to work through it. Some of them are doing a great job. Some have little lulls and then have been able to figure it out, and some just haven't. And the ones that haven't figured it out are out of the sport. And I think the next 12 months are really going to be important for Self to try and see if he can find kind of that recipe again that can get KU back to where he's had it for such a long time.
That is Michael Swain joining us on the show today. He covers the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. Michael, I'm actually planning on going to Lawrence on Sunday if we actually get that matchup with those two highly touted guards. Maybe we'll run into each other, man, because I'm guessing you'll be there too.
Oh, yes, I will. I will be there, especially if it's Devon to Peterson. And even if not, I'll still be there Sunday for sure.